Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Down trees and power outages throughout our viewing area. How local crews are working to clean up the mess caused by severe weather.
Plus, fire crews are searching for the cause of a fire that burned the old Leitner Funeral Home in Raleigh. We have reaction from people who live nearby.
And a rumble on the riverfront. What witnesses say prompted this all-out slugfest and the effort to charge the people who started the brawl. The storms are gone. Now let the cleanup begin. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for joining us. This morning, several roads were blocked by trees, power lines, and other debris. Crews are working to restore power and clean up those roads.
Over the next hour, we will have live team coverage of the damage across the viewing area.
According to Duke Energy, at the height of the storm, more than 400,000 customers were affected across the Carolinas. More than 250,000 customers are back online now, but here in the Triangle, there are still 9,000 customers without power. Neuse River Middle School on Old Mill Burney Road in Wake County is dismissing early because of the power outage. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan joins us from outside that school with an update. Chelsea.
Now, this school sits on the very northern edge of a power outage that's impacting about 700 residents from 64 business northward. And according to Duke Energy, the power in this area should be restored by midnight. But the school has asked that parents pick up their children early due to that lack of power. Now, you can see in this video, school buses, like you see, pulled out promptly at 11:30, taking many students home. This is a year-round school. Parents were also seen picking up their students. Now, the school says that all after-school activities are canceled, and the school also noted that football practice is canceled through Thursday. Now, there are many neighborhoods that are around the school here, and it's sort of hit or miss. You can see some of the outdoor lights out and or on kind of throughout this area. So, of course, but most of the folks, according to Duke Energy here, should still remain without power throughout the day into the evening. It says it should be restored by 11:45 tonight.
Chelsea Donovan live for us this noon outside that school. Thank you.
And I'm Brian Schrader in the WRAL Live Center. Wade Avenue is still closed this afternoon after a morning crash that apparently involved power lines. I want to take you to video Sky 5 shot this morning. This is at the ramp from Blue Ridge Road onto Wade Avenue. We're working to learn exactly what happened here, but it appeared that truck ran into some low-hanging utility lines. And Wade Avenue is still blocked in both directions. I just checked with the DOT, and it looks like it may not open until sometime this afternoon. So you need to think about alternate routes. Consider using 440 and I-40 as the best alternate route to avoid that closed section of Wade Avenue around the Blue Ridge Road area. We're also seeing some pretty heavy delays there on 440 westbound coming in from Glenwood Avenue back toward Wade Avenue. Want to keep that in mind through the afternoon in Raleigh. Sky 5 was busy this morning taking a look at storm damage around the rest of Wake County as people clean up from last night's storms. Sky 5 starts inside the Beltline. High winds pushed a large tree into this pool at the Brighthurst condos off Wade Avenue near St. Mary Street. You can also see where siding is missing from the building here. Drivers had to navigate the intersection at Wade and St. Mary's without traffic signals this morning. Power crews made a lot of progress overnight, but many were still working to restore electricity this morning. Sky 5 found these crews in South Raleigh, repairing power lines on Simpkins Road near Lake Wheeler Road. Sky 5 then headed to Garner. A tree fell on this house in a neighborhood off Vandora Springs Road near U.S. 70. And not far from there, a tree fell in this neighborhood on Cedar Lane near Garner Road. And as we take a look at that live Duke Energy outage map, still have about 1,000 customers without electricity on the north side of Fuquay Varina. A total of about 6,000 customers in Wake County still are in the dark with some pretty big outages in the Zebulon area. Also checked in with Nash and Franklin counties. A total of about 4,000 Duke Energy customers still waiting on the lights to come back on.
Brian, thanks. As expected, this was a big weather event for people across our viewing area. Our severe weather risk yesterday was a level 3 out of 5. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner joins us now with a breakdown of the statewide storm reports. And Elizabeth, just the sheer number of them is remarkable.
Such an unusual system, especially for August. This is something that we'd more likely see in the spring. Big cold front coming through, huge line of thunderstorms affecting the southeast all the way up into New York. In all of these hundreds of storm reports, reports. All these little circles are a different storm report. Only one tornado, but 978 wind damage reports up and down the East Coast, 157 large hail reports, and 20 reports of flooding, and those were mostly up into the Northeast. Let's zoom in on North Carolina, and you can see the clusters of these circles. In North Carolina, we were fortunate. We did not have any reports of tornadoes, even though we did have some tornado warnings back across Charlotte and into the western part of our viewing area. We had 194 reports of wind damage in North Carolina, 2 reports of large hail. So this truly was a wind damage type of an event for us. In our viewing area, we had dozens of those. And of course, Brian was just showing you where all those trees were down. We still have folks dealing with power outages, and it'll be some time before all of that gets cleaned up. Of course, today's going to end up being a nice quiet day as well as tomorrow. But Thursday, we have a level 1 risk for severe storms. I'll show you what that will mean and the timeline coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. Anytime there's severe weather in your area, we want to know about it. When it is safe, you can upload your pictures and videos of storm damage using the Report It feature in the WRAL News app.
Investigators are trying to determine if last night's weather was a factor in a fire at a Raleigh landmark. Flames raced through the old Leitner Funeral Home off MLK Jr. Boulevard and Person Street. This was early this morning, and WRAL's Shelley Jackson is live at that building with reaction from people who live nearby. Shelley?
Well, Jeff, I spoke a couple of hours ago with the folks who own this building right now, and they were waiting to hear from fire investigators as exactly what caused this fire. Let me show you some of the damage. So it was heavily damaged. You can see here, we're in the front of the building on MLK Boulevard, and you can see that the awning closer to the building is down. It was heavily burned. Over here on the right side of the building, you can see the charred windows and the holes up in the roof, especially the roof and the front part of the building, heavily damaged. And then again over here, shifting to the left, you can see again the roof shining through above that window there and the pillars. Now we also have some aerial views of this damage from Sky 5, and you can see just how extensive the damage was to the roof with huge gaping holes there. But most of that damage confined to the front of the building. Now, fire investigators say that the fire did start on the second floor and spread to the attic. And in some video from last night, you can see those flames on the roof and very heavy smoke in the air. Firefighters even had to move their crews out of the way before they could hit the flames with water because of the dangerous amount of debris coming down from that roof. Something even fell and pierced a fire hose. The fire was finally under control around 2:45 this morning. Now, the building was the former Leitner Funeral Home. The funeral home was established in 1911 and later moved to this location by C.E. Leitner. His son, Clarence, became Raleigh's first and only Black mayor. Leitner was a trailblazer in other ways as well. He was an architect who built the homes for Raleigh's prominent African-American residents, as well as many buildings on Black Main Street, a cultural hub on Harget Street. Now, folks who have been coming by today tell me that this is a huge blow to their community.
That funeral home, man, that's history. I was a little boy, you know, raised up with grandmama and them. You know, if people passed away, she would take us to the funeral if we knew them. And a lot of my aunts and my uncles was through this funeral home.
And once again, we do not yet know the cause of this fire. Jeff?
A lot of history, a lot of memories out of that building. Such a shame to see it now. Shelley Jackson live in Raleigh for us. Now, we do know a lightning strike sparked a fire at a church in Robinson County. This is Proctorville Baptist Church. The preacher and his son live next door. The son is Daniel Johnson. He shared this video on Facebook. He tells us they heard the lightning hit the church around 9 o'clock last night, and the fire started right after.
UNC Chapel Hill campus police are urging students to be vigilant after a reported rape on campus. Police say the attack happened near the undergraduate library around 6 Sunday night. An alert was sent to students, and the investigation has some saying they'll be smarter about safety.
I definitely won't go out at night alone. I'll definitely be alert walking back to where I live. Probably not going to have my headphones and just make sure that I'm hearing everything. But yeah, just being more alert in general and not doing anything too risky.
Again, the reported rape happened near the undergraduate library on South Road. Anyone with information should call UNC police. Today, friends and family of a Moore County woman who disappeared nearly a month ago will hold a prayer vigil in her honor. Alicia Watts was last seen on July 16th, heading to Charlotte with her boyfriend, James Dunmore. He was found unresponsive in her SUV in Anson County 2 days later, but there was no sign of Watts. Police consider Dunmore a person of interest in her disappearance. Family and friends will meet at 5:30 at Southern Pines Primary School, then travel to Anson County for the prayer vigil at 7 tonight.
The largest jackpot in Mega Millions history is up for grabs tonight. The drawing is worth an estimated $1.55 billion. The third largest jackpot in U.S. history in any lottery. There have been two Powerball jackpots that have been bigger, the largest over $2 billion. The record-setting Mega Millions jackpot has been months in the making, with no one able to match all the numbers since mid-April. A Duke University professor explains how to gain an edge.
Don't pick numbers. If you pick birthdays, you're not going to go over 31. And if you pick months, you're not going to go over 12. Even the worst thing to do is to take the diagonal or the top line or something like that.
He says winning this jackpot, well, you are 300 times more likely to be struck by lightning. If you do win the lottery, we have a guide on what you should and shouldn't do. It's on our website at WREL.com. Tonight's drawing will be live here on WREL just before our 11 p.m. news.
It is the second week of our month-long Clear the Shelters campaign. Each day, WREL will highlight a participating shelter in our area. Today's shelter spotlight is Goat House Refuge. Meet Ali and Julio, a loving and silly pair of two-year-old bonded brothers who need to be adopted together as indoor-only cats. They are both very social and would thrive in a family where there's lots of activity. Ali is very playful and can occupy himself for hours or cuddle up on the couch, while Julio is the watchdog and likes to be near his people. Both are blind and ready to give you unconditional love. Keep in mind, there are so many other ways to help if you can't adopt right now. Find our shelter wish list, including items they need and volunteer opportunities. Go to WREL.com/shelters.
And back here in the WREL Live Center, we have confirmed that Kane Realty is renaming one of its major projects under construction right now near downtown Raleigh. This is at the intersection of South Saunders and Lake Wheeler Road across from Dix Park. It was going to be called Park City South, but now we've confirmed that Kane Realty is going to call it Rockway Raleigh. I want to show you some pictures of what to expect out there. They're going to be building this in phases, and the first phase, about 350 apartments called the Rockway Residences, some of them with a view of Dix Park across the street, scheduled to open in the middle part of next year.
Thanks, Brian. We'll take a look at stocks this noon. It's a major pullback right now after yesterday's gains, possibly on the downgrading of major U.S. banks on their credit rating. And as you see, the Dow Jones Industrial Average responding down 330 points right now. S&P 500 is down almost 50 this noon, and the NASDAQ is down 183. Meantime, next at noon, facial recognition gone bad. A woman in Detroit says she was accused of a carjacking through the technology while 8 months pregnant. What she's doing about it.
Also, a riverfront brawl in Alabama. The viral video of the fight as authorities try to figure out what set this whole thing off.
Plus, a cleanup after the storm. At 12:30, Keenan Willard has a live report on the damage in Wake County.
Download the new WREL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
A Detroit woman is suing the city, alleging she was falsely accused of carjacking based on facial recognition technology. At the time, she was 8 months pregnant. Portia Woodruff says at first she thought they were joking, given her visible pregnancy. But as Kimberly Craig reports, Woodruff soon found they were very serious.
That was embarrassing.
Portia Woodruff is talking about being arrested for carjacking and armed robbery, crime she said she did not commit. It was mid-February and she was 8 months pregnant with her baby boy when police showed up at her house to arrest her.
I was scared. I was afraid. My kids were there crying, And I'm stuck because I'm like, what am I going to do? These people are telling me they're trying to arrest me and take me to jail for something I have no clue and no idea about.
This case was shocking to me, to say the least.
Woodruff and her attorney Ivan Land now suing the city and DPD for what they say was a false arrest that began with facial recognition, and it left Woodruff sitting in a jail for 11 hours.
I started having contractions while I was in jail. That's why I had to go to the hospital after I was released.
Woodruff's attorney says Detroit police used facial recognition to try to identify a woman seen on surveillance video at this gas station. The woman was turning in the carjacking victim's phone to the clerk. It's alleged Detroit police put that woman's image into facial recognition and it hit on Woodruff. Woodruff and her attorney say investigators then used an 8-year-old photo of her in a lineup and the victim ID'd her.
I believe if they would have ran that photo through the current picture, Ms. Woodruff would not be sitting here today.
Woodruff and her attorney believe she would never have been arrested if investigators had asked the carjacking victim if the woman involved looked to be about 8 months pregnant.
They're not equipped to deal with facial recognition. You don't receive a hit and just sent out the warrant.
The court docket says the case was dropped for insufficient evidence. A spokesperson for the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office says the charges were dismissed because the victim was a no-show at the preliminary examination.
That was Kimberly Craig reporting. Detroit Police Chief James White says the allegations in the lawsuit are very concerning. He says they're taking the matter very seriously, but cannot comment further due to the need for additional investigation.
Here's a story that has gone viral on social media, gaining millions of views. And now the mayor of Montgomery, Alabama, confirms police are searching for people who attacked a boat dock worker. Cell phone video captured the moments leading up to this riverfront brawl. A black dock worker in the white shirt and hat tried to clear the space where a riverside cruise needed to dock. One of the men from a pontoon boat argued and refused to move. And that's when another shirtless white man charges in and hits that employee in the face. Several people came to the worker's aid. One witness says the dock worker was just doing his job.
You know, they were the antagonists of the whole situation. Arrest them, because unfortunately, when things happen, people of color are the first to be put in handcuffs.
City officials say there are 4 active warrants out at this time, and more could follow as police continue to review additional video.
The 17-year-old cousin of the Uvalde school mass shooter is in jail after being accused of threatening to do the same thing. Police in San Antonio, Texas, arrested Nathan Cruz after his mother called police. She says she overheard him trying to illegally get an AR-15-style assault rifle, the same style used by his cousin, Salvador Ramos, used to carry out the shooting at Robb Elementary. Cruz's mother says she was concerned because the 17-year-old is currently on probation, was intoxicated at the time, and the family lives across the street from an elementary school.
A fireball that lit up the night sky over Melbourne, Australia, has been identified as the possible remains of a Russian rocket. Witnesses say the beam of light streaked across the sky and burned for almost a minute before breaking into pieces that burned brightly. The Australian Space Agency is monitoring information from the public, but says it does not expect any additional debris to re-enter the atmosphere. Plenty going on in our atmosphere last night, lighting up the sky.
Yes, looking forward to quiet and calm weather after that wild incident over the evening hours. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center with what led to that and what's ahead.
We have 2 days worth of a break today and tomorrow, and then we start to watch the next system that's back out to the west. This is the cold front that, of course, yesterday was way back here across the mountains and way out ahead of it. We had that powerful line of thunderstorms, of course, that came through and did all that damage. That front's moving to the coast right now, and of course, we'll get a break behind it. But look at what's happening sort of downstream of that, or I guess I should say upstream of that, which is going to be coming our way by Thursday. We have a lot of thunder and lightning here and the potential for some severe storms again in the deep south. south, but we don't see that right away. Still, just a heads up, Thursday we have a level one risk for severe storms. At the beginning of the newscast, I showed you that map with hundreds of reports of wind damage. For our viewing area, we had dozens of reports. And for a level one risk, that of course was a level three risk. For the level one risk, we'll probably have one, two, three, just a small handful of reports. So that's the difference between a level one and a level three. We'll have the potential for damaging winds, but it will be isolated and not as widespread as it was yesterday. We take a live look at downtown Durham. The Durham Bulls start a homestand this evening, and a little bit of cloud cover out there. Those clouds are just going to sit there and look pretty, not expecting any rain out of them. Right now it is 85. The dew point is 71, so it is pretty sticky out there. Today we'll see a high in Raleigh of 91, 90 in Durham, and 95 this afternoon in Fayetteville. So we're not getting a break from the heat and humidity behind that front. We're looking at the next 2 days at the Durham Bulls today and tomorrow. Dry both days. Of course, they threw out the first pitch at 6:35. Temperatures will be in the mid-80s. And I think especially tonight, if you're in the shade, it should feel pretty comfortable. Our dew point's still sitting at 71, so we're still feeling tropical. Maybe a little later this afternoon, that dew point drops slightly into the 60s, but it's still likely to feel like mid-90s around 3, 4, 5 o'clock, and then it begins to cool off after that. Tomorrow, the heat index around 93, Thursday 93 as well. But over the weekend, we start to see more of the moisture moving back in, and by Saturday, it may feel like 103. That doesn't quite get us to a heat advisory, but it is awfully hot, and looking past that, it continues. All the way through August 17th, we have a good chance of above normal temperatures, so that heat is not going anywhere anytime soon, it doesn't look like. We get into September, and we can typically count on a lot fewer days in the 90s. 91 today, 92 tomorrow, slightly cooler Thursday, because we do have that chance of some scattered thunderstorms. It looks mainly like an afternoon or evening event, but it's possible that we could see a few of those in the morning. And coming up in just a little while, I'm going to walk you through Thursday and show you the timeline for those storms. We do heat up a bit for the weekend, back into the mid-90s. That heat index will go up, and we'll have a chance of some afternoon and evening storms.
The dog days of summer aren't over yet, and if you're spending time outside, sunburns are still risky.
Prevention is key. You need to wear your sunscreen, but if you forget, Five on Your Side has your back. Coming up, we're going to tell you five ways to care for that bad sunburn.
And later at 5, the city of Durham is now taking legal action against JFK Towers after reports of bugs, mold, and sewage problems. Plus, what they say property owners say they're doing to improve safety and sanitation for the people who call it home. And still ahead this noon, Apple is making it easier to find new music you might like. How this new music station could turn unknown artists into household names.
And it might not be enough to change your passwords frequently. What researchers learned about how the sound of your typing could help criminals.
Welcome back this noon. A live look right now from the tall tower camera in southeastern Wake County. What a view right there with all those clouds in the sky. A little bit of blue sky showing through as you watch WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Looking for IT jobs in North Carolina just got a little easier. A new report says the state now ranks 7th in the nation for tech industry openings. Employers added 5,000 jobs in July. The top positions leading the way are customer software services, system design, and manufacturing.
A new feature for Apple Music could expand your playlists. The Discovery Station is now available on Apple Music for most subscribers. It picks songs that are similar to ones the user likes, but there's a catch. Discovery Station will only play songs by unfamiliar artists, those that you've never heard before on the app, and it will never play the same song twice. Give it a try in the Listen Now section of the app below Stations for You. More and more fast food customers are ordering their meals to go. Only 14% of people dined at fast food chains nationwide from January through May of this year. That's compared to 21% before the pandemic. Some say the drive-through option is just so convenient. While fast food chains aren't ready yet to give up on the dining room, some are creating new restaurants focused solely on drive-throughs.
Our coverage of the storm cleanup continues in our next half hour. We're live in Wake County with a look at the effort to clear debris left behind.
Plus, the developer of a high-rise office tower in Raleigh wants people to be able to fly in and fly out. After the break, why some neighbors are fighting plans for a helipad. First. first, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Efforts are still underway to get power back to thousands of homes and businesses in the Triangle after last night's storms.
WRAL's Keenan Willard is in North Raleigh, where Duke Energy crews are working on major impact from that severe weather. Keenan.
We are just north of 540 here on 401, and you can see behind me one of the largest overall sites that crews are still working to get back online. As you said, thousands of customers still working to get and waiting on getting their power back after last night's storms. Duke Energy says this is one of just hundreds of scenes where debris or tree limbs fell on power lines across the Triangle and led to around 75,000 homes and businesses losing power in the area. By noon, that number had dropped to around 9,000 today. That still leaves dozens of scenes to respond to before energy can be brought online completely. And the company says this is the kind of impact they were expecting from that level 3 risk of storms overnight.
That we could potentially see some really strong lightning and severe storms. And all of that came together to create almost like a mini tropical storm or a hurricane for a short span there.
And if you were outside at all or just looking out the window when that storm rolled through, you could really see the impact from the strong winds and the rain really happening very quickly and leaving a widespread impact, as we're still seeing with these outages. Now, Duke Energy says crews like these are crucial to getting power back online permanently, but in the immediate, new technology is helping them to sort of reroute power in instances of severe weather. And we're going to tell you later on the WRAL Evening News how self-healing technology is helping to do just that. Back to you.
And we thank those crews for their hard work in restoring power. Keenan Willard, live in North Raleigh.
And here in the WRAL Live Center, we're tracking a traffic mess that we believe likely is related to last night's severe weather. I want to take you to video from Sky 5 from earlier this morning. That truck apparently drove through some downed power lines on Blue Ridge Road at the Wade Avenue interchange, and Wade Avenue is still closed in both directions right now. They're on the west side of Raleigh between 440 and the I-40 interchange. You can see the traffic that backed up there during the morning commute. We're not seeing those kinds of delays right now on Wade Avenue, but our sensors are indicating some heavy backups on 440 westbound, beginning right around the Lake Boone Trail area down toward Wade Avenue. So with that section of Wade Avenue blocked, consider using 440 down to I-40 westbound and continue on your way out to that Wade Avenue interchange. DOT now estimating that it may be 3 o'clock before that section of Wade Avenue is open.
Also from the storm, a massive tree crashed into the side of an apartment building. This is the aftermath at the Brighthurst neighborhood pool this morning. You can see the extensive damage from last night's storms. WRAL spoke to a man who says he and his wife were sitting outside, and within seconds of that storm starting, the tree snapped.
We jumped inside real quick, and we were lucky that nothing came into our patio, but our patio is completely walled in with limbs and trees right now.
He says a lot of that pool furniture is broken as well. Luckily, no one was hurt. One of our photographers took this video on Cedar Lane in Garner. You could see a tree in someone's yard snapped in half during those strong storms. No reports of injuries there.
People in the Triangle aren't the only ones cleaning up after that storm system. This is video from Charlotte. It's just a small sample of what people there woke up to. You can see several tree limbs came crashing down onto this home. This morning, more than 50,000 people in that region were without power. Scary moments in Mooresville near Charlotte when that tree snapped close to a home. This video was taken by Tyson Winter. You can see the force of the wind pushing those trees around until one eventually snapped. Anytime there's severe weather in your area, we want to know about it. When it's safe, you can upload your pictures and videos of storm damage using the Report It feature in the WRAL News app.
This new development going up in Raleigh is already pretty futuristic. Two of its office towers you see here are connected by what's called an Oculus Sky Bridge. And now the developer wants people to be able to fly to and from this location. The Exchange, as it's called, could add a heliport at the site on St. Albans Drive. Right now, there are six heliports in the city, including the one on top of our studios here for Sky 5. WRL's Matt Tallhelm tells us why neighbors in the area of North Hills don't want a new one nearby.
The sound of Raleigh's growth could rise higher into the sky.
It's already busy enough and loud enough with traffic. So why bring helicopters into the mix?
Shane Collins and some of his Midtown neighbors are trying to block a heliport from going into the Exchange. The first 12-story office tower in this mixed-use development is under construction right now. Plans for the billion-dollar project show shopping, an upscale hotel, and luxury condos.
I don't see the need for a helicopter. It's a luxury, it's an added expense, it's an added nuisance.
Right now, the zoning conditions for the Exchange prohibit a heliport or helipad, which is a place where helicopters can land or take off. The developer is asking the city to allow one on the property here. Across Raleigh, there are only six heliports registered with the FAA. Two are owned by private companies, including WRL Sky 5. Two are for hospitals, and two are for government sites, including this one at the North Carolina National Guard Joint Forces headquarters in West Raleigh.
A hospital needs a helicopter. A news station needs a helicopter. The military needs helicopters. I don't see that we need helicopters flying over the neighborhood.
Developer DeWitt Carolinas tells WRAL, Raleigh is on a fantastic upward trajectory, garnering national attention and drawing in top talent and innovators from across the country. We want to build something that positions the city to continue that trajectory, allowing us to compete with other world-class cities to attract large employers that want to do business in North Carolina.
If you're private and you want to contract out your space, then you could bring more helicopters in. It seems to open up a can of worms.
That zoning change is set to go before Raleigh City Council for a public hearing on September 5th. Matt Tallhelm, WRAL News, Raleigh.
Matt also tells us that even if council approves the zoning change, the developer or any companies at the Exchange would still have to go through a process to get a special permit from the city to build a helipad there.
The routine of packing school lunches will soon start up for many families. We'll share ways to up your child's lunch game from PB&J.
And what an NBC News investigation uncovered about the safety of nursing pillows that's prompting government reaction. The government is imposing new safety regulations for a popular nursing pillow for babies. The pillows are designed to position baby and mom comfortably for breastfeeding. An NBC News investigation found more than 160 babies have died in incidents involving nursing pillows since 2007, most commonly when the pillows were used as sleeping devices or to prop up babies. Researchers found nursing pillows with more defined edges were safer. Air pollution may be the reason why more people around the world are becoming resistant to antibiotics. Scientists studied a type of pollutant and antibiotic resistance in 166 countries and found the more pollution in the air, the higher level of antibiotic resistance. They don't know why this happens, but they will conduct more studies to try to figure it out. The UN calls antibiotic resistance a fundamental threat to the entire planet's health and safety.
We've talked about adjusting sleeping habits and shopping for back-to-school supplies. Now it's time for parents to start packing lunches again. It might be tempting to quickly throw together PB&J every day, and there's no shame in that, but it's important that kids are eating a balanced diet. A healthy lunch should include a good protein, grains, preferably whole grains, fruits and veggies, dairy, or a healthy fat. One option is to make a simple deli sandwich or wrap, pasta salad, maybe even pack leftovers from dinner. You can also put together a snack box, which includes deli meat, cheese, crackers, a crunchy veggie, and a fun snack the child can choose.
The more that we can have things unwrapped, ready to go, smaller things, especially for little kids, you can even use like fun food picks in there, like little different shapes and stuff to kind of stuff in their food, and they can eat with that, and it can be quicker and it can be easier for them.
And it's okay to pack things like chips and cookies once in a while, but make sure to have those nutrient-dense foods as well. As far as drinks go, parents should avoid anything sugary and give them water, flavored water, or milk instead.
Love it or hate it, artificial intelligence seems like it's here to stay. Coming up, we'll examine how the technology could alter your future career.
Plus, there's lots of history hidden beneath our feet. After the break, we'll tell you where you can learn more about some of the area's lost waterways. Whether you openly embrace new technology or keep it at an arm's length, it's normal to wonder how new gadgets and software will impact the world. The same can be said about the rise of artificial intelligence. Jackie Ibanez taking a closer look at how AI could impact the future of jobs and the economy.
By now, you're probably aware that artificial intelligence can write papers, create music, art, and more. And when robots are armed with the software, it can expose them to vast amounts of information so they can learn about their environments.
How can I help you?
But even though AI isn't foolproof, programs like ChatGPT are already being embraced around the world, which begs the question, how will the rise of artificial intelligence impact jobs and the economy?
I don't think we're facing the robot apocalypse, but we are facing a loss of jobs.
The ongoing actors and writers' strikes highlight some of the top concerns.
The writers are asking for more compensation, but they're also asking to control AI and to control how to limit how AI is used. You can already use these AIs to replace writers to produce at least mediocre first drafts. And so there's a real temptation to the studios to go down that route.
To get a better sense of AI's potential impacts on the future, management experts say we need to look to some of the most pivotal technological developments of the past.
The biggest leap was the Industrial Revolution, the coming of the factory, moving people from agriculture to cities. So if you look at what happened in Britain, which was by far the pioneer on industrial technology, it's about 100 years for that technology to really come to fruition and to have a really big impact on the broader economy.
That was Jackie Ibanez reporting. Goldman Sachs predicts roughly 300 million full-time jobs around the world could be altered by artificial intelligence, with white-collar jobs most at risk.
Changing your passwords frequently may not be enough to stop a cyber attack. Researchers say the sounds of laptop keystrokes could reveal passwords and other sensitive data. The sounds of a person typing were recorded on a nearby phone and then used to train a deep learning model. It decoded passwords with 95% accuracy. Experts say one way to avoid the risk of attacks is through biometric authentication instead of inputting passwords using a keyboard. Did you know many of North Carolina's lakes have deep secrets, even entire ghost towns hidden beneath their surface? WRL's Hidden History reporter Heather Leah has written about the lost communities beneath Lakes Jordan Lake, Falls Lake, Lake Norman, Carr Lake, and others. Tomorrow, she'll share this lost history during a live event at the North Carolina Museum of History as part of its History at High Noon series. You can also watch the presentation on Zoom. Just visit their website to register for Hidden Beneath Their Waves.
And just into the WRAL Live Center in the past few minutes, we've confirmed in the Charlotte area they did have at least one tornado. We were showing you some of that damage in Charlotte a little while ago. In Huntersville, the National Weather Service says that damage matches up with an EF0 tornado with winds maybe up to 85 miles an hour. And this afternoon, they're going to be looking at other damage spots around the Charlotte area to see if it was a severe thunderstorm or tornado that did that damage. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center now, and you know, a severe thunderstorm can do the same kind of damage that a low-end tornado can do.
And that's what we were really trying to stress yesterday when we were looking at that level three risks for severe storms, and we knew wind damage was going to be the biggest threat. We were saying, you know, really got to be careful. We did have some winds up to 70 miles per hour, and of course, we started the newscast, you know, with hundreds of reports of wind damage. Now, at that point, we didn't have the official word from the Charlotte area that there was one, at least one tornado, and potentially we'll be updating that again later on this afternoon. I happened to be watching the radar yesterday afternoon as all that was taking place, watching all those tornado warnings moving across the state. There were a lot of them, and we had one of those move into our western counties, but we've not had any tornado damage reports. Goldsboro looking beautiful. We started off this morning with a little bit of cloud cover. The sunshine has broken out nicely across our area, allowing our temperatures to warm up. Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, Apex here, and of course, our Fayetteville newsroom there on Hay Street. Let's talk about our next chance for severe thunderstorms. thunderstorms, and that comes tomorrow. We have a level one risk for, it comes Thursday. I'm jumping ahead. Our level one risk for severe storms, with the main timeline for storms being afternoon and evening, but we could start the day on Thursday with an isolated shower or thunderstorm. That level one risk covers the pretty much the entire state, and the difference here between level one and level three is one that's easy to explain today. Of course, we showed you that map, you know, with the dozens, hundreds, really, a couple of hundred reports of wind damage across North Carolina. For our viewing area, we had dozens of those, and our viewing area on Thursday with a level one risk will probably only have a handful, maybe just one or two, possibly three. So it's quantity in terms of our severe weather risk will likely have a lot fewer storms with the level one risk, a lot more storms with that risk as it goes up through level two and level three. Here's a look at Futurecast, and things are looking quiet for us today. A couple of puffy cumulus clouds. I showed you the development of this system back to the west. We took a look at the live radar. But here's how it looks late on Wednesday. On Thursday, we may start the day with an isolated shower. But right here, you can see the yellows and the oranges really starting to bloom there. That would be our best chance of severe storms there on Thursday, again, with that level one risk. Looking at the potential for bumping up this chance, we're watching the computer models, the timing, and how much coverage we may see. So we may bump that up from 50% Thursday to a little higher later in the week. Friday and Saturday, just a small chance of showers and storms. Taking a look at the tropics, we were so busy watching that level three system for yesterday. We didn't talk too much about the tropics, but there's not much to talk about. Everything looks quiet there through the weekend. Just wanted to let you know that we're watching it as we're getting close to the peak of the season. A little cooler on Thursday with that chance for thunderstorms, but we do heat up over the weekend with highs back into the mid-90s and a small chance for thunderstorms. Stick with us. We'll be right back with your top stories.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Crews are out working to restore power and clean up after storms swept through our area. More than 6,000 customers in Wake County are still without power, according to Duke Energy. That power should be restored by midnight.
Investigators are trying to determine if last night's stormy weather was a factor in a fire at a Raleigh landmark. Flames ripped through the old Leitner Funeral Home off MLK Jr. Boulevard and Person Street early this morning. It started on the second floor and spread through the attic and roof. Officials are still investigating the cause of the fire.
Today, friends and family of a Moore County woman who disappeared nearly a month ago will hold another prayer vigil in her honor. Alicia Watts was last seen July 16th, headed to Charlotte with her boyfriend, James Dunmore. He was found unresponsive in her SUV in Anson County 2 days later and is considered a person of interest in the case. Family and friends will travel to Anson County for the prayer vigil tonight at 7.
San Diego police are searching for a burglar who stopped to pet the family dog before making off with an expensive bike.
You're the coolest dog I've ever known. I love you too.
Video posted to social media shows the man leaving the garage open when he's approached by a golden retriever. So the man took a moment to give the dog a good belly rub before making off with a black Electra three-speed bicycle valued at around $1,300.
Some hunting enthusiasts from Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia participated in a seventh deer impersonator competition. And those are the sounds of competitors trying to mimic calls made by a red deer. Dozens of competitors had to grunt their way through several different categories, including calls made by stag during breeding season or after victory over another in battle. The Latvian winner will have the chance to participate in the European Championship in Poland.
If you're looking for a unique-looking dog, then look no further. Faye would love to be your forever friend. She arrived at the Wake County Animal Center as a stray, so they don't know a lot about her background. Faye does well with other high-energy, playful dogs. She plays a bit rough, so she would do best with other dogs who like that style of play. If you want to meet Faye, contact the Wake County Animal Center at the number on your screen.
And no weird sounds necessary.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Get out and have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.